Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
And that's what we will do. I want to talk to you about some specifics in doing that, friends. I'm pro-life leader Frank Pavone. Thank you for joining us on Praying for America. We comment on the news. We pray over the news. We look at what's happening in America and what needs to happen in the light of the Word of God. President Trump made a policy statement on abortion. That being the issue I deal with full time, obviously, I have some things to say about that, thanking him for that statement. Secondly, he continues to explode high in the polling. He is just running away with this race. We're going to look at some numbers real quickly. And then Obamaha. You have been hearing about Obamaha if you've been following conservative commentary on politics lately. And we're going to talk a little bit about that too. And with an action item for you that can change the Electoral College outcome. Okay, lots to cover. Let's start with the Book of Lamentations. There is a beautiful passage in chapter 3, starting with verse 22. The favors of the Lord are not exhausted. His mercies are not spent. They are renewed each morning. So great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good to hope in silence for the saving help of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we know that your favors to your people have not been exhausted and your mercies to America have not been spent. We have strayed, Lord, far from your path. But we trust in your mercy, just as our founders did. We trust in your mercy. We know of your goodness. Your favors are renewed each morning because early on the morning of the first day of the week, the women came to the tomb wondering how they would roll the stone away, only to find that the stone had been rolled away. Their fears had been overcome. The kingdom of evil had been destroyed. Christ had risen. Lord, we ask that as we hope in silence for your saving help for America, our hopes may be realized and rewarded, that through the action of each of us and of our fellow citizens, our fellow patriots and believers, we might save this country at this hour and indeed lead it back to greatness. That is our prayer tonight. And we make it through the one who was crucified and rose again, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, let me show you. You may have seen it by now. The brief post that President Trump made, it's about 4.5 minutes, a post he made on his Truth Social account just the other day. And he had said that this was coming. He would give a policy statement on abortion. Actually, I wasn't too surprised by it because it was very consistent with what he's been saying in various speeches and interviews all along, as well as in various private meetings and conference calls that I've been on. But let's show it to you now and let me make some comments on it as well.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Today, I'm pleased that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
Very important statement on the issue of abortion. And brothers and sisters, you know full well, and many of you are involved in the pro-life movement, that government cannot authorize the killing of a life. I mean, we're talking about the most fundamental principle here, life itself. And there is no abortion that a government can authorize. You wouldn't want your life protected in Mississippi, but not protected in New York. We know that this is a moral issue. And President Trump is saying we have to follow our heart, our faith, our convictions on this. But speaking as a candidate for the presidency and trying to save our nation and reunite our country, this reminds me of what happened at the founding of our country. And let me make this parallel, which I've made in a number of recent commentaries online and in print. and in various interviews. When our founders adopted the Constitution of the United States to get this country going, the issue of slavery was a burning issue. And they did not make the Constitution a document that took an explicit anti-slavery, let's ban slavery position. And that doesn't mean they were in favor of slavery. Some, in fact, mistakenly argue that the Constitution is endorses slavery. It does no such thing. But at the same time, it doesn't call for a ban to slavery. Because the founders knew, as they were trying to get the Constitution ratified, that were it to contain an explicit ban on slavery, it would not have gotten ratified to the extent that was necessary to start this nation. And so what they did instead was got it ratified, brought about our country, and then the Constitution itself became the mechanism by which slavery ultimately was eradicated. I see a parallel here to this situation on abortion. The nation is very divided on abortion. President Trump and many others believe that in order to win these elections, that the American people are not going, the American people have to be told exactly what he just said, lest seeing the choice of Trump and the Republicans as, oh, well, we're going to completely ban abortion, which most Americans at this point don't want to do. This is seen as an electoral liability. And so what he's trying to do is to say, look, we've got to save our country. We've got to, and what he means there is things that we discuss here all the time. The Democrats are not only attacking the right to life of the unborn, they are attacking our right to freedom of speech, to free and fair elections, to freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom to redress grievances against the government. You object to something, they throw you in jail. They're throwing pro-life people in jail. The bottom line is, if we don't have a country, how are we going to defend the unborn? If we don't even have a country and we don't even have the freedoms that we've always relied on to make changes in public policy, how in the world are we going to bring this country to the point where it protects the unborn once again? So I see President Trump trying to do here very much what our founders tried to do at the time of adopting the Constitution vis-a-vis slavery. He's saying, look, right now we got to save the nation. We got to save our freedom of freedoms in order to make a difference in public policy and to even have elections. You know what the Democrats are doing and what they're trying to do to destroy this nation. We've got to stop them in their tracks in this election. We've got 7 months to stop them, essentially, is what it boils down to. And then getting President Trump back in, electing the Republican ticket, switching the Congress over to a full Republican Congress, then we're going to have a mechanism to be able to manage this issue and a whole bunch of other issues as well. That's how I see it. You can't compromise on abortion, but this is not a moral compromise. This is simply a recognition of where the American people are at and how the tools that we've got to preserve in order to move the ball down the court. We can and we must move the ball down the court. Once again, we're dealing with the most fundamental right, which is life itself. The government can't authorize the killing of a baby. The problem is it already has pretended to do so, and therefore we've got to roll that back. Can't roll that back if we don't have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, free and fair elections, and a government that's functioning in a healthy way rather than in a weaponized way like the Democrats are doing right now. That's what I see President Trump saying. Now, what he said in those remarks also that needs to be highlighted is, we want to help moms have their babies. Now, there's moral disagreement about the specific question of in vitro fertilization, and I don't think that that's a political/legislative battle that we need to have. Really, the other side always wants us to focus on these harder moral questions and get the focus off of their infanticide, like President Trump rightly calls them out on. But the fact of the matter is that his mention about IVF, essentially he's saying, hey, we have to be on the side of the miracle of life. And that's just one piece of a puzzle of what I think are going to be multiple policy enactments that help moms have their babies. And most of the American people think that's a good thing. Then furthermore, he points out the other piece of the strategy. You say you want to help families to have the babies that they want. At the same time, point out the extremism of the Democrats. They are the extremists on this issue of abortion, wanting to take away by means of federal law, wanting to take away by means of ballot initiatives in the states, even the most reasonable restrictions on abortion, like parental involvement for minors who want abortions, or informed consent. You give the woman who's seeking an abortion the option of considering some alternatives and take an extra day to think about this life-changing decision. And for the baby, a life-ending decision. Come on. These are reasonable measures that most of the American people agree with, but not the Democrat Party. They want to wipe all those restrictions away. Come on. It's clear in this election. Does America want more abortion or less abortion? You want more abortion, you'll go with the Democrats. You want less abortion, you go with the Republicans and President Trump. All right, those are my comments on his abortion statement. One final thing about this. I don't expect him or any other candidate or public official to do my job. I'm a pro-life leader. We articulate the moral teaching. We articulate passionately the unborn have a right to life. You cannot infringe on that right. That's our job, to make that case, to persuade the people. And what President Trump is saying is, when he says it's in the hands of the American people, which is what the Dobbs decision said, the court is not going to get in the way. It's in the hands of the people and their elected representatives. Well, then really what he's saying is putting the challenge back on us. You, whatever you want abortion policy to be, persuade one another and then persuade your lawmakers and elect lawmakers that agree the same way and then pass the laws. The responsibility is back on us to make this a pro-life America. Going on to other things, latest Rasmussen poll. Did you see the 8-point lead? Now, it was a 2-point lead a few months ago. 4-point, 6-point, now an 8-point lead of President Trump over Biden in the national polling. I mean, this is landslide territory here. 49 to 41. Amazing. You know, in the past elections with President Trump, he never got ahead in the popular vote polling. But now he's very much ahead. The change in the Hispanic vote, we've talked about this. The Democrat demographics here are slipping away from them. Hispanic vote in 2020, Biden carried it. What is it here? 59 to 38. Now Trump carries it 48 to 37. Black vote 92-8 in Biden's favor back in 2020. Now Biden has it only by 10 points, 49 to 39. From 92-8. Obvious significant movement in the black community towards President Trump. Even in the Asian American vote, that has flipped. It flipped from Biden's favor to Trump's favor. And among independents in 2020, Biden carried them 54 to 41, but now Trump is leading among independents 49 to 35. These are amazing numbers. And even in very blue New Jersey, Dick Morris was commenting on this the other day, 46 to 39 is all that Biden has, 46 to 39 in New Jersey, should be much higher than that. There is, you can say now, as Dick Morris said the other day, a consensus in this country that Joe Biden should not be the president. And let's continue building on that. You know, he was at that fancy fundraiser in New York the other day while the slain police officer's funeral was taking place, that President Trump attended the wake. Meanwhile, Obama and Clinton joined Biden for their Democrat fundraiser. However, President Trump had an event, a fundraising event, that brought in a historic amount, higher than any fundraiser has brought in, $50 million. So the polling, as well as the donations, are showing the same phenomenon, people going to President Trump. Now, as far as going to him, it's not just the polling. Of course, as you know, it's the electoral votes. We sent out an action alert just yesterday, it was, and I want to ask you to take a look at it too. ProLifeVote.com is our website. And what is this action alert? It can affect the electoral vote. It has to do with Nebraska. Have you heard about Obamaha? It's a variation on the name of the city of Omaha. Because here's the deal in Nebraska. Only together with Maine, the state of Maine, does Nebraska allocate its electoral votes by splitting them. In other words, the electoral votes in each state are calculated by the number two for two senators in each state, plus the number of congressional districts. So some states like California and New York have a lot of electoral votes. Other states like Nebraska has only five, and some states even fewer than that. Well, the least you could have is three, right? Because you have to have at least one congressional district and two senators. Nebraska has five. But the way they handle their electoral votes, unlike 48 of the other states where whoever wins the state's popular vote gets all the electoral votes. Unlike that system, Nebraska says, well, whoever wins the popular vote statewide gets the two electoral votes calculated by us having two senators. But the three congressional districts, though, each of those electoral votes will go to the one who wins in the congressional district. It's a different method. What's the issue? Nebraska is a red state. Four of the five electoral votes reliably go to Republicans. But one is in District 2, which covers Omaha, reliably goes Democrat. Now, you might be saying, but that's just one electoral vote. Yeah, that's all it takes to make the difference. As a matter of fact, there's multiple scenarios, including, for example, Biden winning Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, losing the other battleground states, and then winning Omaha, Nebraska's one electoral vote gets him to 270. If Nebraska changes the way that it allocates the electoral votes, we can take that one electoral vote away from being a reliable Democrat vote, and that could change the race. Now, it could conceivably create a scenario. And again, you know, you look at the electoral map and you come up with dozens of different scenarios and paths to victory on either side. And we're not prognosticating that now. We're just talking, it is within the realm of possibility, especially this year, that you end up with a scenario where if Nebraska awards all five of its electoral votes to the statewide winner, which would be Trump, you could have a 269-269 split. You could have a tie in the electoral vote, neither one getting to 270. And you know what happens then constitutionally? It goes to the House of Representatives. And it's not the individual members. It's the delegations, one vote per delegation in the House, which would give it to the Republicans. It's one scenario. The point being, yes, one electoral vote can make the difference. And yes, this is a clear-cut way of getting that electoral vote reliably back into the Republican column came to be known as Obamaha because of that electoral vote going blue. We can change that. How do we do it? Who handles the way, you tell me, who handles the way that states conduct elections? The state legislature. So there's a lot of buzz already, and there's already been the stirrings of an effort to actually change this now in the Nebraska legislature. We're encouraging you, if you live in Nebraska, if you know people who live in Nebraska, talk to them about it, but it's urgent. Talk to them about it now, and then contact your state legislators and your governor, Jim Pillen. Contact them and say that you support the change in Nebraska's awarding of electoral votes to a winner-takes-all system like is in place in 48 other states. You can find the details on this. You can find the wording for this on prolifevote.com. At the top, you'll see an action box, and it'll say, tell the Nebraska legislature you support this. Now, you got to act on this quickly, because they only have another week or so before their legislative session ends. It's April 18th. We've got about a week. This can get done, but it's going to require a big push. Well, we have a big push right here in front of us, watching and listening right now. You're the big push. Let's get it done. Nebraska, Obama, let's get those five electoral votes in a winner-take-all situation, just like 48 other states. Okay. That's what I have for tonight. Let's go back into prayer and thank you for your patriotism and your work to make America great again. Father, we pray today on the issue of life, the unborn. Lord, we have a deeply, deeply divided nation, and yet we have such a fundamental issue, such a basic right. Lord, help us to get it right on the right to life, because if we can't get this right, how can we get anything else right? If we don't have life, we don't have anything. And how can it be more, possibly more clear than we can't authorize the killing of a baby? Just can't. Bring our nation back to life, back to pro-life. And bless our elected representatives, Lord, as they deal with articulating this issue. Let them always show compassion to those moms who are in need. Let them always show that they are on the side of families and ready to help people to do what is right. Lord, we ask your blessing over this situation in Nebraska. Lord, the legislators there, they can make this happen if they want. They can make this happen right now. And we can put ourselves in a better position for the 2024 election. We're not recommending something new or radical here. We're recommending the way that 48 other states already do it and have done it for a long time. Lord, please bring about this change. Stir the citizens, first of all the residents of Nebraska, to contact their governor and their legislators right now to tell them they support this change. But Lord, inspire the hearts of the legislators with courage. And with the political will, what it takes now is will. There's a path forward. There's a way to do this. Inspire them with the political will to do it. Lord, bless our entire nation and bless all our audience right now and all the particular individual needs that we have, whether it's for wisdom, for consolation, for strength. Whatever we need, Lord God, please grant it to us in your love and in your mercy. And we sum up all our prayers for America and for one another by offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is a joy to be with you. Follow me on social media, friends, at FR Frank Pavone is the handle. At FR Frank Pavone on all the platforms, starting with Truth Social. Make sure you're active on Truth Social. Let's get the job done. We can do it together. We'll be praying for you. Pray also for us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Associate Director of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years. And it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321 521,000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.